Acts chapter number 1. Jesus was about to be taken up. He had a few words to say to his disciples here before he went up into heaven. Verse number 5, he said, "For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? He said unto them, It's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Father, thank you for this day, Lord, you blessed us with. We pray, God, that you'd meet with us now. I pray, God, that, Lord, you'd help me, God, as I try, Lord, to preach your word, Lord. I realize I'm nothing without you, and I can do nothing without you, Lord. I need your touch, Lord. God, as a church, Lord, we need your help. We pray tonight, God, your will would be done. We love you and ask your blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus said back over in the book of Matthew, chapter number 28, he said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." He said to go and to teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe whatsoever things I've commanded you. And he said, "Lo, I'll be with you even unto the end of the world." Jesus is speaking about a power that was given to him. That same power he wants to give to you and I tonight. And that power is available tonight. Verse number 8 again, he said, "You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you." The Holy Ghost was about to come on the day of Pentecost as you study the book of Acts. But as we, in the day that we live, when we get saved, the Holy Ghost of God moves in to abide and dwell with us forever, to teach us, to guide us, to correct us in all things. He's ever present with us. Many times we'll wonder where God is at in our life if something comes our way and things are not going our way, and we wonder where God's at. Well, I'll tell you where He's at. He's on the inside of you. He's never left you, and He'll never leave you nor forsake you. We have a power, friend, to live the Christian life. But oftentimes I think what we're trying to do is live the Christian life in the power of the flesh and not in the power of the Spirit. The Bible clearly commands us to be filled with the Spirit of God. We have an option. We can seek the filling of God, and we can go in His power, and He can accomplish great things through a person that's really nothing, that's really weak. But through the power of God, we can do all things through Christ Jesus that strengthens us. Oh, I'm afraid a lot of times we fail, though, in seeking that filling of the Holy Ghost that we're commanded to have. God doesn't force Himself on anybody. He's looking for a willing vessel that He can use. He's looking for a willing vessel that He can fill. He's looking for somebody that's hungry, for somebody that's thirsty, for somebody that realizes the debt that we owe Him for the grace that He's sent our way. Oh my, listen to me, friend. I want to preach tonight on this thought. Empowered by the Holy Ghost. Well, that's a word that today, you know, a lot of religious folks in our day don't like to hear that word anymore. And I'm not surprised. We live in a time when there's a religious folks, friend, that's denying the power of God. And listen to me, friend, there's folks that's meeting and having nothing but a fleshly meeting. There's nothing accomplished for the glory of God because there's no God in the house. I'm afraid we're living in the Laodicean church age where the Lord's on the outside and most churches wanting to come in. Can I ask you tonight, is He on the outside of your heart wanting to come in tonight? Is He wanting to fill you? Are you quenching Him? Are you letting Him in? Do you have a desire to be filled with this Holy Ghost power, friend? God is doing a work in this world. His disciples needed the power of the Holy Ghost upon them. They were going to face many obstacles. They were going to face persecution. They were going to face even martyrdom, friend. And they needed the power of God that they might go out and preach the gospel to a lost and dying world. And we're no different today in which we live. God wants to use us just like He did the early disciples. And we need the power of God upon us to carry out His great commission. Go ye into all the world. Go ye. Go ye down at the job place. Go ye down at the restaurant. Go ye at the schoolhouse or wherever life may take you, friend. Go in the power of God. You got a message to tell. There's somebody, I guarantee you, that needs to hear it, that you'll cross paths with somewhere in your life. There's somebody that's hungering and thirsting for God in their life. And they got an emptiness that they don't know how to fill. But we've got something to fill it with. That's the good news that Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Well, the Holy Ghost is our force. It's our strength. It's our ability, friend. It's our energy. And we need Him. Too often we think of the Holy Ghost as an it. Because of the way that the Bible is worded, sometimes we look at the Holy Ghost as a thing. But friend, the Holy Ghost is the third person of the Godhead. We've got God living in us. We've got all power that He has. It's within us to accomplish His will in our life. Listen to me, friend. First of all, I want you to notice the power of the saints. Yes, we got the promise of the Spirit of God. Jesus said that back over in the book of John, chapter number 14. Let's look over there for just a minute. John chapter 14. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. In verse 15, I'll pray the Father, He'll give you another comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Verse 26, He said, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I've said unto you. We've got the promise, friend, of a presence of God, friend. Let me tell you something. Hey, there's no excuse in our life, friend, for failure. There's no excuse not to be in the center of God's will. Hey, He's got something for you and me to do. We've got a power within us that He's given to the saints of God if we'll just use it. Promise. Abide forever, He said. We've got that power to teach us all things. Oh, if we just submit ourselves to Him and to this power, friend. He said He would abide with us forever. Not only, friend, we got the Spirit's promise, friend, but let me just step it up just a little bit right here. Talking about the power of the saints. The Spirit's promise, but there's going to be some steps that are painful. Steps that are painful. Now, the Bible teaches us over in 1 Peter that Jesus suffered, leaving us an example. And then what does He say? That we should follow in His steps. There's going to be some painful steps that will come our way in life, friend. Somebody's going to hurt your feelings. Somebody may walk out on you. There's going to be a lot of different things that will come my way and your way in life, friend. But let me tell you something. It ain't no time to throw in the towel on God, friend. We're living in an unperfect world. We're living in a world where there's a real devil, friend. Jesus suffered, friend. Jesus suffered. The Son of God suffered, friend. And we're going to suffer. But listen to me, friend. We've got something extra in our lives. We've got the power of God to bring us through it. Hey, let me tell you, the Bible says the afflictions of the righteous are many, but God delivers them out of them all. We've got a power within us. When all hell is coming down upon us, friend, we've got a power. We've got a person that's with us always, friend. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. We've got a power that we can draw strength from in our worst hour, in our darkest time. We've got something to lean upon within us. We hadn't got to run to the Pope. We ain't got to run to the preacher, friend. He's right here. He's within me. And I can call upon Him anytime. He always hears. He always hears. And He'll always care. Oh, don't never let the devil tell you that God don't care. That God has forsaken you. Don't ever let Him tell you that Jesus won't hear your prayer, friend. Hey, let me tell you something. The only thing that'll hinder your prayers from reaching the throne room of God, friend, is sin in your life. If we'll confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He'll hear your pleas. There's going to be steps that are painful. Now, friend, I'm talking about empowered by the Holy Ghost. And I want to look now at an example over in Acts chapter number 16. I want us to take just a few minutes and look at the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul was a great man of God. He was a man that suffered many things during his life for the glory of God. And I'm talking about steps that are painful, friend. But I want you to notice in Paul's example right here, Paul, in chapter 16 right here, he heads over in the ministry and he lands over by a river here, and there's a lady by the name of Lydia there, and God opened her heart to the gospel who Paul preached to there that day, friend, and saved her. And as the story goes on, he went into a place of prayer, and there was a certain damsel there with a spirit of divination, And for many days she followed them around, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation." And then Paul, later on there, he commanded that spirit to come out of her. And the men that were making money off of this girl that was able to tell fortunes there, and they didn't like that at all, friend. The devil don't like it when you go to doing something for God. And you might as well get ready for him to go to bucking things when you try to do something for the Lord. And so they brought Paul and Silas there before the magistrates there. And they begin to accuse them of things. And the Bible teaches us there in this passage that the multitude rose up against them. The magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. Well, how about that? I mean, they were working for the Lord. They wasn't out doing nothing wrong. But lo and behold, the very thing that they would they'd love to bypass, friend, it happened to them. They tore their clothes off and they began to beat them. Let me ask you, what would you do? What would you do if you went down to your workplace tomorrow and God the Holy Ghost really impressed you to witness to somebody, to testify? And you did. And maybe they got saved right there, gloriously saved. And then some folks come in there and take you captive, tear your shirt off, and command you to be beaten. How would you react? Well, you'd probably think, well, where are you at now, God? Why is this happening to me, Lord? You ever ask God why? Well, let me tell you something. God's got a purpose for everything that comes your way. The power of the saints, the Spirit's promise, steps that are painful, but the stripes, purpose. See, those stripes were working a purpose in the life of Paul. The Bible tells us that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. It doesn't say that all good things work together for them that love the Lord, but all things work together. This was a bad thing. But it was working together for good. Notice what the Bible teaches us right here. The stripes, purpose. Now, Paul and Silas, They got these stripes laid upon them for doing good, for doing right. They were cast into prison there, and they made their feet fast in stocks. They were put into the inner prison, into a dungeon-like place. But there was a purpose for it. There was a purpose. You see, there were some folks over there that needed Jesus. And how are you going to get into prison? How are you going to get put right in the very center of that thing? Unless God opened the door for you. Paul didn't throw in the towel. Notice that. The power of the saints, but secondly, friend, the power of a song. The power of a song. You ever ride down the road and a good old gospel song comes on the radio and it begins to stir your soul? Just God meets with you through a song. I thank God for songs. I thank God for our old redback hymnal here. Thank God for the old songs that I've heard since I was a little old boy, friend. In Acts chapter 16, look at verse 25 right here. The Bible says, "And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them." The power of a song. Let me tell you something, friend. We come to church, and we usually open up service with a song, don't we? Well, let me tell you, friend, we ought to put everything we got into singing praises unto God. Didn't the psalmist say, "Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise"? Isn't that right? If we come into the house of God and we counted all the blessings and all the good things that God had done for us, and if we had a thankful heart when we come to the house of God, I think if we was thankful, friend, for what He's done for us, we'd want to praise Him when we got here, friend. And when we go to praising God down at the house of God, things will go to happening because God is pleased with that. We come too often unprepared. Unthankful, unholy, not prayed up. You see, they sang praises unto God and they prayed. I'm not going to ask anybody in here tonight how many prayed for the service tonight. I wouldn't want to embarrass you. But you think about it. Let me say this. If every Christian was just like me, what kind of church would we have? Ask yourself that question. Hey, if every witness was just like me, how many more people would get saved in this old world? Let me tell you something, friend. There's power in a song. And it's proved to us right here in the Word of God. The songs of praise, they begin to sing praises unto God. I thank God for the songs in that old red book right there that praises God. And I'm glad that when I'm sitting right there on that beach and Sister Sherry goes to strumming on that piano and the organ goes to playing and Brother David or Brother Tim goes to leading one of these old songs, friend, it goes to stirring my heart and stirring my soul to where I want to praise Him and thank Him for saving my wretched soul one day. Because there was a time in my life when I didn't know Him. There was a time in my life when I was headed for a devil's hell. There was a time when I couldn't thank Him for saving me. But He saved my soul and I got something to praise Him about. I've got something to be thankful for tonight. I ain't got to die and go to a devil's hell. Oh, the power of a song. Thank God for the songs of praise. God, just get you one of them old books sometime and go to thumbing through it and reading some of the titles. Glory to His name. Victory in Jesus. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Whoa, what songs they are in that old book. And they ought to stir us when we get to listening to them and get to singing them. Not only songs of praise, friend, but there's songs of persuasion in that old book. Let me tell you something. There's something went to happening when Paul and Silas went to praising and praying that night, friend. The prisoners heard them. There's something in a song, friend, oh, that draws a sinner. There's something in a song that can convict, that can correct, friend, that can bring you down to an altar of repentance, friend. There's songs. Here's a few of them I pinned down. Pass me not, oh, gentle Savior. Are you washed in the blood? Just as I am without one plea. Oh, why not tonight? You ever heard that old song, When You's Lost? Oh, why not tonight? Brother David, I remember when I was a little old boy sitting in a church pew and didn't have no air conditioner. In July revival, they raised them old windows up, friend, and you could hear the crickets and them old July flies outside. And then at the end of the service, they'd sing that old song. Oh, why not tonight? Tomorrow's sun may never rise to bless thy long deluded sight, friend. Oh, I remember it just as clear how it convicted me, friend, how it drew me, how it persuaded me that I needed that needed to be saved. Songs, powerful. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. And there's another one. Lord, I'm coming home. Songs of persuasion. Wonder what Paul and Silas was singing as they sang praises there that night, friend. Oh, I do know one thing. Things went to picking up when they went to say it, when they went to pray in there, and when they went to singing, friend. The prisoners heard them. Tell you what, tonight, friend, not only the songs, friend, of praise and persuasion, songs that are proven. I like songs that's proven. Old songs. I don't like this new contemporary stuff. I'd rather go to a good hog calling. Just tell you the truth. That's what I think of them. Amen. Hey, there's a lot of songs that glorify the singer, not the Savior. There's a lot of folks that's got a real pretty voice, but they got no Holy Ghost. I'm talking about empowered by the Holy Ghost. When we sing, we ought to put our heart into it. You ain't got to hit every note, friend. But if we're filled with the Holy Ghost of God, we can make a joyful noise to Him. And He'll honor that just like He did. The power of a song, then notice the power of shaking. Of shaking. When the prisoners heard them, the Bible says there in verse 26, and suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open, everyone's bands were loosed. The power of shaking. If you look back over in Acts chapter number 4, there was a prayer meeting took place there. The disciples found out that not everybody appreciated their preaching. They found out that not everybody was going to pat them on the back. And so they began to pray for boldness, that they might go out and preach the Word of God with the power of God on them. And the Bible says that the place where they were assembled was shaken. That ought to be our desire every time we come to Liberty Baptist Church, that the power of God would shake this place, that the power of God would shake us up. That's what we need. We need to be shook up tonight. We need the power of God to move us again. Amen. We need revival, don't we? We need revival tomorrow. We'll need revival day after tomorrow. We need revival every day of our life. We need a shaking in our life. The place was shaken there. There was a great shaking, it says in verse 26. The foundations of the prison were shaken. Let me tell you something. The house was filled with prisoners. Wonder how many prisoners come and meet with us on Sunday. How many people are captive by Satan captive by sin and are lost and headed to a devil's hell, friend. And we come into the house of God and we act like a bunch of stumps that's been cut off out in the woods, friend, when we ought to be appraising God and asking God to shake this place up and to shake the sinner, to shake the prisoner at this house. The power of shaking. God wants to shake things up. Wish we could get in the spirit that Paul and Silas had that night. It was midnight. It was dark. They were down in the dungeon, but they wasn't down in spirit. And that's the way we ought to be when we come to the house of God. There ain't nothing can take away our salvation. There ain't nothing can take away our God. There ain't nothing that can defeat our God. We've got something to be excited about. Not only was there a great shaking, but there was a great waking. The great waking was caused by the great shaking. Now the old jailer right here says in verse 27, and the keeper of the prison awakening out of his sleep. Boy, if we could just get this place shook up Sunday morning. You know that old jailer? He was probably I bet you he was a hard man. He had to see after the vilest of the vile. He couldn't have no compassion. He had to be hard-hearted, didn't he? Hey, if he lost any of them prisoners, his life was at stake. He had to be tough. He had to be tough. But you know what? God came a-looking for him that day. God came to soften his heart. God came to draw him to salvation that day. It was his day. The shaking caused an awakening. If we could just get in our place at Liberty Baptist Church, do our part, it might be singing. It might be praising. It might be a testimony. Whatever it is, we ought to do everything we possibly can do every time we gather together. There may be a lost sinner in the house that needs awakening. And it could be your prayer. It could be your testimony. It could be your song that God would use to awaken them, to get them to an altar of repentance. Not only a great shaking, a great waking, but a great enlightening. You see, this old prisoner, or this old jailer, go and read the story, he would have killed himself that night, supposing the prisoners had fled. But there was a great word of enlightenment that came to him. You see, when somebody's lost, they don't know what to do. They need the word. They need enlightening. And we are the light of the world. We've got the light of the gospel to share with them. And that's exactly what happened that night. There was a great enlightening. Verse 28. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we're all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in. You know, that's what people come to church for, looking for some light. They're looking for a lost person. Why would a lost person come to church? Because there's something missing in their life. They've really got a desire to fill that void. And they're looking for light. They're looking for something that's real. We've got it. We've got it to give. There was a great enlightening. He called for light, sprang in, came trembling, fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Now the enlightening was this. Paul said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." You notice he didn't say, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ." The devils believe in him and tremble. I believed in Him when I was lost. But there was a day when I believed on Him. You see, I cast myself upon Him for mercy. And He took me. He's in me, I'm in Him. Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. The power of the saints, the power of song, the power of shaking, and lastly this, the power of salvation. Paul had a gospel message to tell him. That's a powerful message. That's the most powerful thing that will ever fall on anybody's ears, is the good news of the gospel, the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. The preaching of the cross is the power of God. The power of God to salvation. You see what this, real quickly, and I'll be through. The power of salvation. You'll notice in verse number 29, it made the sinner tremble. It says he came trembling. It made the sinner humble. It says he fell down before Paul and Silas. It made the sinner hungry. He said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Ain't you glad that Jesus done it all? He didn't have to do nothing but just accept what was already done. That's what Paul told him. And ain't you glad that it's a whosoever salvation? Not only made the sinner tremble, made him humble, made him hungry, but it made him whole. You'll notice in verse 34, said, and when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. Made him whole. The power of salvation. We've got this power, empowered by God. We need to use it. Amen? Hey, what good would it have done us to pay Georgia Power $1,000, $1,200 a month if we come in here and sit in the dark? Be stupid, wouldn't it? Wouldn't that be stupid? God wants to fill us with the power of the Holy Ghost that we could go out and turn the world upside down. It's available. It's able. But we got to access it. Amen. Stand with me.